exactly what it's going to be.
Final hour here on this Saturday. Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3. The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. And we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman alongside you again. Extended show moving forward. We are with you until noon. In our final hour, we're going to get into the house settlement in college sports, what it means for a lot of these power conferences, including the SEC, moving forward. Also going to talk some Stanley Cup finals, some NBA finals. And let's start there because Edward is on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wanting to talk about the NBA. Edward, good morning. What you got for us?
Morning, guys. I listen to your show when I'm out running on Saturday morning, and I appreciate you guys. The state of Tennessee had a professional basketball team that was big time, one of the big leagues, back in the early 70s. Can either any of you guys tell me who that was?
It's not the Grizzlies, because they expanded in 96.
Well, they came from Vancouver.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on to your seat here. ABA. First they were called the Memphis Pros, then they were called the Memphis Tams. Actually attended some games. There were 11 teams in the ABA. These were good teams. I mean, we're talking about Van Issel, Dr. J, Artis Gilmore. These are some great players. They're a little bit older than you guys, probably, Tom, but one of the four teams, there were 11 teams in the league, one of the four teams that came over was, guess who? The Indiana Pacers.
Right.
They are still waiting to win their finals championship. I think they blew it last night in the fourth quarter. I felt like they're teetering right on the edge. And if they could have gone 3-1 last night, I thought it would have been very difficult for Oklahoma City to come back and win three games straight. But I believe they will do that now. And Oklahoma City will win. That's who I picked before the season ever started. I think they're good in every category. I mean, it was just – I just felt like Halliburton, he's got to show up more and towards the end of the game. I know he's hit some winning shots, but there is a consistency through the third quarter and fourth quarter that I need – that I think he needs to have. But back to the ABA, can you guys name the other three teams – they came over from the ABA, and they were great ones.
I know the Spurs were one of them.
Yes.
I'm blanking. I'm going off of semi-pro because they talk about this.
Was it? It wasn't the Sixers. The Brooklyn
Denver
Nets.
Brooklyn. That's exactly
there
right.
We
yes.
go.
Was the New Jersey Nets, Brooklyn Nets? But yes, those were the four teams. Not bad for an ABA team. That ABA league, I'm shocked that it fell apart as quick as it did, but did not have strong TV package. But anyway, I just thought I would bring up the NBA since it's I'm watching a little bit of the Stanley Cup, but basketball is where my love is, and that's where I watched it. Just get your guys' comments on Indiana Pacers.
Thanks for the call, thank Edward. You. Appreciate you
all
listening.
Right,
yeah, good thoughts on the ABA. I literally was going through the semi-pro scene where they're talking about which teams are going to get to go to the NBA, and the Flint Tropics were sadly left out.
San Antonio? You kidding me?
The NBA Finals, they have been great. And I didn't watch the games all the way through up until last night, but I watched all of last night's game.
Yeah.
And those are two really good teams.
I mean, the knock on it has been, like, there's no superstars.
Right. There's no LeBron.
To me, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Halliburton are two of the most exciting players in the
they
NBA.
They are.
They are just fun to watch. And I think Jalen Williams on Oklahoma City is fun to watch.
Yep.
I think the series, why it's been so fun is, A, they're trying. They're actually playing defense.
The defense
which is
good. Has been unbelievable.
This is my thing with the NBA. If they would play like this every single game, I'd love the NBA.
Yeah. Now, if it was a battle every single night, like last night was a battle. They were going at it.
Yeah.
I thought the refs were getting too involved. You know,
it's the first foul was not a flagrant.
It's a Scott Foster crew, so it's like the extender. You kind of know what you're getting. But down the stretch, I think Edward was right that Tyrese Halliburton and that Pacers team, it looked like they were going to run away with it there. Obi Toppin hit back-to-back threes. Mm-hmm. It looked like they were going to cruise. And then just they went cold at the wrong time. They couldn't get a shot to fall in the final couple of minutes. I think the Thunder ended the game on like an 11-1 run or something like that. And they ran away with it. And I think that was a missed opportunity. If the Pacers win that game, there's a reason the 2016 Cavaliers are the only team that's erased a 3-1 deficit in the finals. It's not easy to do. The Thunder, I think, are the better team. And giving them that game on your own home floor, it's going to be really tough to go into Oklahoma City and win one of these last couple of games.
It's two fun environments, too. Like, those crowds are on fire.
Yep. The Dumb and Dumber guys with Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins.
Did you see the picture of Stephen A. last night? He's playing solitaire in the middle of the game on his phone.
Yeah. There was also something on Twitter about him on First Take that he had, like, his laptop open, and they had, like, a camera over his shoulder, and, like, it was exposing everything or whatever.
Yeah, he's crazy. He said he was doing it during the timeouts. I don't know if that makes it any better, but yeah, not great. Not a great look. The ESPN coverage, I understand, like, Stephen A. Smith, he's been covering the NBA for a very long time. Same with Michael Wilbon.
Mm-hmm.
But
why is Kendrick Perkins on there?
Right, I'm looking forward to the NBA.
What, like, does he contribute?
The NBC crew that they are putting together, and I know Michael Jordan is the big name, but it just looks like guys who know basketball and can analyze the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Like, Stephen A., as good of a commentator and, you know, personality as he is, I don't know if people really trust the things that he says about the game of basketball. Because he's a writer. Like, that's where he came from. It's not like he was a player. So
he's opinionated.
He's entertaining, for sure. I don't know if you're getting the information that you really want out of them.
And that's why I think a lot of people are excited for this NBC thing, because, A, Michael Jordan, that is a draw.
Right.
People are going to tune in to see what Michael Jordan has to say about the state of the NBA. But you have other guys like, now I'm blanking on who was on that show.
I need to look it up.
But regardless, it's exciting for the game of basketball because, like you said, it's people that know basketball. Then on the ESPN side, you have the inside the NBA guys who I think know basketball on some level because they have three former NBA players, but they're more fun and entertaining. They're more going to poke fun at each other.
Right.
It's two different sides of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yes, the NBA on TNT guys, they aren't always great analysts, like, but it's so entertaining because of the camaraderie they have. And like when they do actually, when Kenny runs up to the board and actually does stuff, like it actually is helpful for the fans. NBC's crew, Michael Jordan, will be joining Jamal Crawford, Reggie Miller, Carmelo Anthony. Those are kind of the big names.
So they're all former
players.
All pro players.
Right,
yeah.
Great players. So, but anyway, I thought the game last night was fantastic. And game five, the Pacers are going to have to play pretty much a perfect game to win. Because going into OKC in a game that big, Thunder have been the best team all year. It's going to be tough. Quickly, let's hit on the NHL. Stanley Cup Finals.
Equally as fun.
Outside of game three, where the Panthers just ran away with it 6-1, three overtime games. And game four was maybe one of the best hockey games you could ever put together. 3-0 deficit for the Oilers in the first period. They erase it, go up 4-3 in the third, give up a goal with less than 20 seconds left to send it to overtime, and then Leon Draisaitl with the game winner to even up that series at 2. If these last three games are anything close to what we've seen so far, this could go down as one of the greatest Stanley Cup Finals of all time.
Yeah, I really do think so. Seeing Sam Bennett, of all players, and Brad Marchand, who are just taking away just everything. They're literally able to make a difference in that series. And everybody thinks, you know, making a trade for Brad Marchand at the deadline, yeah, it's going to help out. But I didn't think it would help out this much. You know what I'm saying? The Florida Panthers were good, but now they've reached elite level. And as for them blowing a 3-0 lead, That's pretty unfortunate. Going into Edmonton for game five, that's tough.
That place is going to be on fire.
Once Drysdale scored that overtime goal in game four, my gut was telling me they're winning this in seven. Edmonton's winning this in seven.
I have a feeling the winner of tonight, and it's not that bold because the winner of 2-2 game five usually does win the series, but yeah. I think the winner of tonight's game is going to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because Edmonton has a lot of goaltending issues right now. They pulled Stuart Skinner last game and put in
Pickard.
Pickard. Yeah. I thought it was Picard. Picard. That's Star Trek. they put him in and was rolling. So yeah. I'm curious to see who they put in between the pipes tonight. But do you go to Picard or Pickard or whatever?
I think you kind of have to, right? Yeah. Like Skinner gave up three goals in like a 7-minute span. And I don't think what was around him was great because they gave up almost 20 shots in that first period. So he was getting peppered, but I think you got to go with what worked.
But yeah. I could also see Edmonton going back to Skinner, you know?
Yeah.
I really could. In the fact,
he plays better at home, too. That's the thing.
Exactly. So if they go back to Skinner, he lets in one or two goals, and Florida has a 2-0 lead after the first period, you got to make the change.
I don't know if they would want to dig that hole again, though. Because, I mean, their comeback was absolutely improbable.
Right.
Yeah. Down 3-0 headed to the second period and then come all the way back. I don't know if you want to set that tone again. Like, if I'm Edmonton and I'm playing at home, I want to set the tone that we're going to start this game on top and we're not going to let it up.
Yeah, but if there's any team in this Stanley Cup, obviously there's only two teams, but Edmonton's the team that can come from behind. Any time of the game, they're the only team that could probably come
from
behind.
Got the scoring to do it. Going to be must watch tonight, game five from Edmonton. Phil on our text line, our friend Phil, says the NBA is a bad product. No one is watching. Ratings are at a 25-year low. Yawn. I think it's fair to say that and still agree that the series we're watching right now has been great television. Like, I agree the NBA is a bad product, and people have stopped caring about the All-Star game. People have really stopped caring about the regular season. But these are two really good teams, two exciting teams who play hard. I think this is the first time I've really enjoyed watching an NBA Finals in a couple of years.
Connor mentioned it, and you said this series, it's a different type of basketball.
Because it's not the same NBA basketball you're used to.
Right. Yeah. So the point of the whole ratings thing, like, just throw that out the window. Because this is good basketball.
I agree with the overarching view that the NBA is not in a great spot.
Don't get bogged down by ratings.
But this is a great series. It is. And I will be watching Game 6, which I believe it's not. Is it tomorrow or is it Monday? They continue
They've been
to,
weird.
They spread it out because they want people talking about the NBA for as long as possible. And I believe Kevin Durant could get traded this weekend too. Monday, Pacers and Thunder Game 5. So
that kind of sucks. They should have done tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Sunday evening, I feel like you could get a lot. But
more people would watch.
Right. But I think it'll be a good one. I'm excited. Oklahoma City, Pacers, Thunder, Game 5 going to be a big one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. When we come back, we are going to dive into the House settlement that came down this week, changing college sports and how they're going to operate in terms of revenue sharing across the Power 4 conferences. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman here on Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor, Jake Wallman with you. Going to talk some college sports here.
We're heavy on the Huey Lewis today, aren't we? I love it.
Jake Wallman's been spinning the hits back there.
I love Huey Lewis. He's one of my favorites.
He's good. He's good. You were putting some good ones on yesterday, too.
Oh, thank you. I tried to cater to Joe Rexroad's dad rock.
Yes, and you did. He messed one up.
I thought
he said Led Zeppelin when it was Styx.
I was like, Joe, this is like Styx's only good song. Like, how do you not know that?
He corrected himself quickly.
He did.
He did.
He knew.
Big news in college sports this week. The House settlement, which was rumored to be coming down, a decision for months, finally was finalized, if that's the right way to say it. And
finally finalized.
Revenue sharing will be allowed among power conference teams. So every power conference team, I believe the number is about $20.5 million, will be allowed to share with the athletes. Most of the schools have said that the structure is going to be about 75% to football, 15% to men's basketball, 5% to women's basketball, and then 5% goes to other sports, whether that's baseball. I saw Oklahoma announce that softball and gymnastics would get some of that. So it depends on what sports are important to your school. But for the most part, 75% football, 15% men's basketball, 5% women's basketball across the board, which means football teams just got, and again, you have to budget this, but you have $15 million that you can share with your squad now. And that changes everything. Again, now NIL collectives are probably going to fall into the background, as the clearinghouse has said that basically 90% of collective-based deals would not have been approved and probably won't be approved going forward. So it's going to lead to schools playing players directly and NIL deals that are actually NIL deals of, if you're on the cover of College Football 26, you get paid for that. If you're in College Football 26, you get paid for that. If your local tire shop wants you to do a commercial, you can get paid for that. But the days of these undisclosed deals that just are funneling through the collective, probably going to be done.
Which is good.
Great.
Great step towards what we are going to classify as a mini NFL pretty soon.
Right.
I think we talked about this last week a little bit, Frazier. It was mostly me and Parker Kelly last week, but you hit on it a little bit too. I think we are heading towards contracts. We are heading towards, hey, if I'm recruiting a 5-star running back to come to Alabama, we're going to sign him to a 3-year multi-year deal contract. That way, he is less likely to hit the portal. And if he does, then we probably have to buy out his contract. So we avoid this Nico Iamaliava situation where he just up and leaves. I think we're heading towards that.
I think I saw that buyouts are going to be included with the money that is paid directly to the players. So, like, let's say X player gets a $100,000 deal. I think I saw that if they leave before the end of the academic year, so let's say you sign it for the 2025-26 academic year, if you leave before right now, basically, May, June of 2026, you have to pay, or your school you transfer to will have to pay $50,000 to the school you left, and that comes out of their fund.
Mm.
So I don't know. I
was reading
this yesterday, but it will de-incentivize the transfer portal a little bit, because again, it is a limited fund. Like, I know $15 million is a lot of money, but for an 85 scholarship team like football, that's going to go away quick. We were talking with Joe yesterday about, if your quarterback wants $5 million, well, that's a third of your cap gone like that. Your star running back wants $4 million. Your receiver wants $2 million. Well, guess what? You're already at $11 million, and the other 82 guys are going to have to share that $4 million. So I think this is a good thing for college sports, but you know that teams are going to try and work around it.
Yeah, and I was telling this to Connor and Parker last week. Like, obviously, this is going to go up. They said, what, it's going to be a 10-year process, but every year that cap goes up.
Yeah,
right.
So then you're going to allocate more money, which, like you're saying, it would decentivize players to go into the transfer portal. I think it would only level out the transfer portal, if that makes sense. Because say if somebody leaves, you have that new amount of money that's added to your cap for the season. If you got one guy that's transferring, you can easily pay that, and you're still left with the same amount of money from last year. So, like, I think it'll level out the transfer portal for the most part, like you're talking about. I guess not decentivizing, but just treat it like a free agency.
Well, and I guess Nico could be a good example of this. If it is, you have to pay 50% as a buyout. His was what, $2 million?
Yes.
So, man, that's a lot of money that Tennessee would be getting $1 million back that they could use, but UCLA would have just lost $2 million, and that doesn't go to Nico. It's just going, or they lose $1 million, but that just goes to Tennessee. You still have to pay Nico after that.
My next question I want to ask to both of you is, if, say, for instance, let's go with Mississippi State, because they're an SEC school, they're bad right now,
They're about to get relegated.
Yeah, relegated. Say they grab a bunch of really good five-star athletes, right? They pay them a certain amount of money that's within the cap.
This is very hypothetical, isn't it?
Yes, very. They end up transferring out, but their buyout is like you're talking about Nico, all $1 million.
Yeah.
So say there's a Power Four conference school that basically allocates $1 million here, $1 million there, and it's over the, I guess, season salary cap for the year. Can that money carry over? Like, is there carryover money into next year? Because if that's the case,
that's a good question.
There are going to be schools that will manipulate that,
right? And it's like, oh, we're going to have a down year this year. Let's save half our cap and go hard to the transfer
like the
portal
NFL.
Next year.
Yeah,
yeah. So
because I could see a G4 school doing this or a G5 school doing this, like G4. An MTSU. Yeah, yeah,
I don't think I saw carryover in there. I didn't read the whole settlement, but of the snippets I've seen, I haven't seen that. But it's going to be a brand new world because these schools, you can pay players directly now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you have to have these collectives and you donate there. It's now part of your budget that $20.5 million or whatever it is going to go towards these players.
Texter on my personal text line, driven by T-Mobile.com, asks, what happens if a player fails academically? Under the impression, I think they're going to make it so players aren't necessarily coming to your university to go to class. I think it was already like that anyway.
I mean, we've known for a while that I don't think players are all going to class, but
I think it's a good thing to put in a contract because if you have a player go to class and say they don't abide by the obligations of going to class,
right.
You get money back.
Well, and that's why there should be contracts with morality clauses of some sort of like, hey, if your GPA falls below a certain level, you have to pay back X amount of money.
You ever seen Last Chance U on Netflix?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that where, the football team has their own personal counselor. Like they have their own personal counselor and tutor of some sort. It was that one lady, I can't remember her name, for Eastern Mississippi Community College.
EMCC.
Coached by Buddy Stevens, one of my favorite people ever. But I wonder how many schools will start doing that. Like Alabama, for instance. Let's say Kalen DeBoer says, hey, we're going to bring in our own personal therapist / tutor for our guys. Do you think that involves finagling the grade book a little bit?
Well, I'll say it's already happening.
Yeah.
Let's just be putting that out there. Like, it's already happening.
Well, they're treated like schools. Professional athletes.
Yes, they are. And I think there are a lot of professors out there that tend to sway a grade here or there for a professional college athlete.
This all depends on the program.
Yeah.
Like, I know for a fact there are other programs that everybody goes to class, everybody does their work. But, I think a lot of the big programs out there, that's probably not the way it is.
My texter wants to be identified. It's my mom.
Oh.
And she's curious because she is a teacher. So
it's a great question.
Is she a high school teacher?
No, she's middle school.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just saying, because if she is a high school teacher, there is stuff to worry about with this.
Yeah. No, that is true.
NIL recruiting and it's all leaking into it.
It's a good point.
Those kids need to learn their grammar.
615-737-1025 is our official text line driven by WellesleyCountyHyundai.com. But I can give out Connor's
please,
number too.
Please don't.
if everybody wants to just text him.
I'll have
him.
People calling me and calling me little you know what.
We're going to get back we're going to stick with this coming up next. We've got a couple more segments for you. With you till noon, Forrest Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final half hour on this Saturday with you till noon. We'll make some picks coming up in our final segment. But let's get back into the college sports, the House settlement that came down. We talked a little bit about football there, but I think a big, aftershock of this that maybe people aren't talking about is that it's kind of a cap on some of these teams in NIL because with the collectives, as long as it was donated through the collectives, you could kind of spread it out as you wish. So, a team like Tennessee who wanted to be good at baseball, they still had enough money for football, but they could also give pretty big contracts to the baseball players. Now that the collectives are going to be harder to get those types of deals through, it may be tougher for a football-centric school to spread out more money evenly to some of the other sports.
What about vice versa? What about a basketball-centric school?
Right.
Like a Kentucky, like a Kansas or Duke. Is it harder for them to spread their NIL funding to their prominent sport?
Well, I think 15% is probably more than enough for basketball, just because there's so few players. Let's see.
But they also ask for more money.
Right.
Like the kid from the guy that transferred from Princeton to Florida is making like $6
million. Well, yeah, so 15%, oh, sorry, of $20 million is, I could easily do that. That's $3 million. So your budget for revenue sharing would be $3 million. But there are going to be other endorsements and stuff, and I'm sure there is ways to get more money. And maybe a school like Kentucky, instead of doing 75% for football, does 60%.
Oh, so they can finagle the percentage.
I think you can change the percentage. I don't think those are – I think that's more of just the standard of what schools are looking into.
Yeah. But it'll be the majority of the SEC will probably invest more in football.
Right, right. But these schools that have – you know, they get all the SEC money, and it's like, all right, well, we can be good at everything now. You wonder if maybe a school that wants to be really good at baseball, like an Arkansas. Arkansas has had a history of being good at Vanderbilt. Maybe they throw a little bit of extra money into their baseball pool than some of the other SEC schools, and that can allow them to have the competitive advantage there. So I think that's going to be one of the more interesting things to see with this is how does that revenue sharing distribution work out, where schools are obviously going to prioritize different sports based on what their fans want to see.
Yeah, and I think we did the experiment last week. I mentioned if every sport was dispersed evenly, it came out to like $34,000. Yeah. I use Alabama as an example. Like, they have 600 student-athletes. If you were to disperse that $20 million and evenly to everybody, it's $34,000.
Which, if you're getting free education, free room and board, and $34,000 a year, that's...
It's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But obviously, schools won't do that. But think of Vanderbilt, who only has 16 varsity sports instead of some of these other schools like Vandy. That'd be a much larger pool that would go to each individual player. So you know, that's something to think of too.
Yeah, and looking at this money thing, so I want to get this clear if I understood it correctly. So basically, if Jimmy Joe at Arkansas were to get paid by the university, but then were to do an NIL deal through a car company, he would be able to get paid through that. But, like, what is the threshold of the amount of money?
Yeah,
that's
I don't know.
The thing. That's what I'm confused about.
I think they can't limit earnings on the endorsement deals. So, Cooper Flagg, he had the New Balance sponsorship and the Progressive sponsorship. He can make as much money as he wants on that. But you have to be a superstar to get those kinds of deals.
See, like, for me, if I were a GM of a university, I would be honing in on just getting as many NIL deals through big corporations for your players, because that's where the money's going to be. Whereas you're,
especially locally.
Yeah. Like, I think that $20 million you're going to get that's allotted to, I don't know, a certain sport here, a certain sport there, I think it's all going to go to recruiting, in my opinion.
That's why I think of Kentucky basketball, because it's such a massive program. You have all these local spots that are willing to donate this NIL money.
Right.
For spots smaller than that, it's going to be harder to allocate for some of that money. Like, you kind of just get, you know, whatever you're kind of given from the NCAA and just do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
I like it because it doesn't take away the advantages that some of these big programs have.
I agree.
And I'm forgetting who texted this yesterday, but somebody sent a text of some of the big stars, like a Cooper Flagg or Juju Watkins on USC's women's basketball team. Maybe they should be telling the universities, don't pay me any of the money that you're getting from the university. That should go to my teammates, because guess what? I have a Nike commercial or a Gatorade commercial.
I'm making more anyway.
Right. It's like they're going to pay me $1 million over the year for my shoe deal or whatever commercials I'm doing. I'm set. But let's pay our second and third best players so they don't enter the transfer portal. Maybe that's how things go.
Yeah.
But there's also egos involved with that of, like, is somebody actually going to turn down millions of dollars?
Well, to that point, it seems like these days a lot of NIL is focused on roster retention. Look at Ohio State last year. It was a $20 million roster, but the majority of that money was put towards keeping those
making
players.
Sure people didn't hop in the portal. Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of this disperse money of sorts is, I think that's good because, like you said, you can defer your money and, you know, see if I'm Cooper Flagg, hey, let's give our money to Con Knipple.
Yeah.
Make sure he doesn't hit the portal.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're both in the NBA right now, but that's just an example.
Yeah.
But I think that is, and it's a rare situation because, like Carson Beck, for example, Miami's paying him $4 million this year. He's not going to get endorsements. I don't think Carson Beck, especially with some of the negative PR that he's gotten, I don't think that he is going to be getting Gatorade commercials or whatever it is. So even though he's the guy getting paid the most on the roster, it's not like he wants to turn any of that down because it's not going to get made up for elsewhere. It's such a select few athletes at the college level who are going to make $500,000, $1 million plus without the schools actually paying it to them.
Yeah, and I'll put out an example here. Say there's a, let's say Jimmy Joe again at Arkansas is playing football and he's a running backer. I know, Jimmy's a good athlete.
He's killing it.
Say he ends up having a contract stipulation with the university saying, you know, you got to play X amount of games this year. And say, I don't know, midway through the season, he's only played 3 games because he had a messed up wrist, okay? Say the GM of that university comes up and says, hey, Jimmy Joe, we want to renegotiate with you. We want to do something with your contract. And he says, nah, I'm sitting out. I don't want to do nothing. But he doesn't remember that, oh, I got to play 6 games. If he doesn't play 6 games, there's a stipulation there.
Yeah.
I'm getting really into the weeds with this. It's just where my head goes.
I think you're right. I think you have to implement incentives into contracts.
Yeah.
I think you have to implement, you know, you need to play 6 games for this to hit. We'll put in a, you know, if you catch 1,000 yards receiving, we'll give you an extra, I don't know, $300,000 or something like that.
I don't think it'll be too incentivized, but at the same time, there has to be limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to learn about this year and in upcoming years of how is this actually going to be structured. I know that Joe was saying yesterday that all these ADs, they want structure. Like, they want guardrails because they want everybody playing by the same rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't been the case. Everything's been on a state-by-state basis and all that kind of stuff. So now you know what the rules are, but how are they going to be implemented is going to be interesting because you do need contracts. You need contracts with different clauses writing up how you're getting paid, when you're getting paid, what happens if you transfer, what happens if you fail at academically, mm-hmm. What happens if you get injured. Like, there has to be stipulations in there because, you know, right now it's basically just like, hey, if you come to our university, here's $4 million.
It's Wild West.
Cool. Yep.
And it's going to be the Wild West for a few more weeks until this thing. When's it kicking? The first?
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, but actually, I think I saw that one of the clearinghouses, I think the external NIL clearinghouse went into effect last night.
Mm,
so
okay.
The one that clears like actual endorsement deals, I think they are up and running.
I'm honestly surprised no one's hit the portal.
Yeah. Clock's running. What can I get before we start to actually have rules?
Because I'm sure negotiations are going on. Like,
right.
I'd just like to see the $20 million allotted towards recruitment, in my opinion. I see value in just recruiting. Like baseball, the money ball effect. You're trying to find that next big thing. I think if you're a college GM, you got to look at this like, hey, you know what? Maybe we end up using this $20 million towards recruiting, all recruiting.
I would too, but I'd do it based on sport.
Yeah.
Like whatever you're good at.
Yeah.
Like for Kentucky, I would say, hey, we're going to allocate all this money towards recruiting and basketball, which is what the fans would want to see. If I'm Georgia, I would say, hey, we're going to put all this money towards football.
Yep.
Vanderbilt, we're going to put all this money towards baseball. I think that's what you need to do because it keeps your fans happy, keeps it flowing through your program.
Yeah.
And I mean, it keeps the checks and balances of the SEC or even beyond the SEC, the nation. It keeps those.
And high school sports specifically. Like, if you're having college or high school athletes getting NIL deals as a senior, what's the incentive for them to play their senior year?
Right. Like, look at Bryce Underwood with Michigan. He got $10 million to play at Michigan, something like that.
He's on the cover of a damn video game. He's never played a snap. College football.
So, like, saying that, I think if you were to use that money that comes directly from a university to recruitment for a player, let's say, playing a senior quarterback in high school, he is now incentivized to play, because if he doesn't play, he doesn't get that money.
Yep. Yep. And I think we're going to learn a lot, like 365 days from now, once everybody's gotten a full year of it, I think we're going to learn a lot about what college sports is going to look like moving forward, because this is a landmark decision and it's going to change college sports. I just don't think we know to what extent at this point. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we got one more segment. We're going to wrap it up with some picks here. We're going to pick the game fives coming up, and no wild card today. I want to know who's winning the College World Series. We'll pick those coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman here on Forrest Company, 1025, 1063, the game. Forrest Company final segment on this Saturday, our first three-hour show. It won't be our last.
I really felt that.
Yeah, Nick Frazier was...
it looked into my soul.
Such a vibing song.
It is a great one. Alabama, right?
Yeah. I've been on an Alabama jam lately.
It's incredible.
Not music, baby.
It's a great song. Yeah, first three-hour show, almost in the books. But again, moving forward, 9 to noon, you can join us here on Saturdays. Force Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Let's make some picks. Let's start with Game 5 tonight. Oilers and Panthers in Edmonton. Huge game after the Oilers came back and won in overtime back on Thursday. Who takes it and goes up 3-2, Nick Frazier?
The Oilers. I don't say it confidently, but the Oilers. I'd love to see Florida win, but the Oilers.
In honor of Ian Safar, who I picked for yesterday in weekend winners, the other two picked the Oilers. I'm taking the Panthers. America. Because why not?
You know, I agreed with you on the Panthers yesterday, but I'm going to take the Oilers. I do think the Oilers are...
Well, I do think the Oilers are going to win too, but I can't switch up.
Yeah. That's true. Jake Wallman, Oilers or Panthers?
The Oilers have a player on their team with an interesting name.
Yeah, he scored a...
He scored the other night, yeah.
He almost had the game winner.
Jake Wallman.
Yes, Jake Wallman.
So I got to go with the Oilers, right?
Jake Wallman picking Jake Wallman and the Oilers.
I think that's illegal in the league. You can't bet on your own team. So.
Well, I mean, the two L's versus the one L, definitely.
That's true.
That's true.
Definitely. Yeah.
There's also a Parker Kelly in the NHL.
Yeah. Is it Parker Kelly without the second E in his last name?
Yes.
Okay. I think he plays for the Sharks, right?
Wallman played for the Sharks.
I played for the Sharks. Yeah.
Parker Kelly's on the Colorado Avalanche.
I played for the Red Wings, I believe. So
the closest.
And then tonight I'll be in Clarksville with the Cats.
With the Cats, yes. Yeah.
Sideline reporting duties.
Okay. No, he's the line judge.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, make sure the chain gang.
You're doing sideline reporting.
I will be sideline reporting.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got a big drive ahead of you.
I do. It
feels closer than usual, though.
Yeah, it does. Maybe just down the hall. The closest I had was Jake Lehman. That was when he was in the NBA. I used to get people saying that all the time. Played at Maryland, and then he was on the Timberwolves for a long time.
Was that just your 2K name, then?
Yeah, no, it was, because they never had Lyman, but I could be Jake Lehman. Game 5 on Monday night, Pacers and Thunder. After the Thunder evened the series last night, back to Oklahoma City. Who gets it done?
I'm going to take the Pacers.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be that.
Indiana on the road.
Yeah. I think they can prove it. They have the talent to do it. Just send it. Just send it back to Indiana.
Send it back to Indiana with a chance to win their first finals.
They can do it.
Connor?
I think the Thunder will be too much to handle at home. Plus, they have more Wildcats on their team than the Pacers do.
They do. I'm going to go with the Pacers only because every time I think the Pacers are definitely going to lose in this postseason, they find a way to win. So I'm going to go with the Pacers solely because I think the Thunder are going to win. Jake Wallman, go ahead.
If you would have asked me how many championships the Pacers had before Edwards' call earlier this morning, I would have told you at least one.
Nope.
Now I'm surprised that they don't. So give me the Pacers take this back to...
That is kind of surprising.
That does surprise me. Like, I kind of was going to go Pacers just because I thought it would be more contrary, but we went 3 on the Pacers, 1 on the Thunder.
So only one ball in
the ABA, here. Pacers had 3 championships. 2, I think Pascal Siakam has a huge, huge game.
Yeah. People forget Pascal Siakam, NBA champion with that Raptors team.
That is true. That was his rookie year.
Yes.
Or it was very early in his career.
It was early in his career. He wasn't the star. It was Kawhi's team.
Yeah.
But
he had a breakout in that playoff.
He did.
I say he's a 25-point double-double.
And, you know,
10 rebounds?
Yeah. I'm saying 11 rebounds, 25 points, that he can get it done.
Wow.
I like that.
I mean, there's been some unsung heroes on that team. Nembhard's been great. I'm blanking on Vandy guy. Aaron Nesmith.
Nesmith's
been good. Mathurin's he fouled out last night.
Is that Mathurin. McConnell guy?
Yeah, TJ McConnell. Yeah.
White chocolate. Yes. 2.0.
So, Pacers are a good team. I think the Thunder are better, but, you know, just because the Pacers continue to surprise me, I will take the Pacers. All right, and no wild card today. The College World Series is just underway, so we have a little bit of knowledge of what the brackets are going to look like. But if you had to pick who is going to win the entire thing, I don't think we'll know this by the time we're on the air next week, but figured let's pick it now. Who wins the College World Series?
At the beginning of this whole thing, I picked LSU. I contradicted myself a couple segments ago saying, you know, they may not do it all. But I'm going to stick with my pick. I'm going to go LSU. I think they can get it done, but I'm a little worried, if I can say that.
I will counter you with, woo, pig, sweet.
Skillet.
Is Skillet watching intently?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's the mascot.
They better...
That's actually Boss Hogg. Hogg likes to kiss children, so...
When's the last game? Skillet might not make it.
June 22nd is his day.
Oh,
so he'll be gone. So he'll be gone a week through the 29th.
If Arkansas goes 0-2, Skillet's going to have a rough end to his life.
So the championship series is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so Arkansas needs to sweep it to give Skillet a chance.
Oh, boy.
It's his dying wish.
I guess so. It's his last wish. I don't know.
To see the Omahawks bring one home.
When we picked at the beginning of the tournament, I said Vandy. But I said if it's not Vandy, Arkansas. I wanted to stick with that, but...
But I took it from you.
No,
so you
I'm changing my pick. Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. Chanticleers!
I think the Chanticleers can get it done, win their second national championship. Jake Wallman, who you got?
So, you guys picking Arkansas, I know that team is really good, and I learned that officially last week. Well, I learned it a couple weeks ago when Tennessee went to Fayetteville for the first time and dropped 2 of 3, and then last week...
He's going
to
bash him because he's salty.
I mean, yeah, I'm a little salty. that we couldn't go get it done. But also, you know, Dave Van Horn's nickname is Dave Van Choke.
Who came up with that? That's terrible.
I believe Jake Wallman just came up with that.
Well, I've heard it circling on the socials.
Come on,
on Vol Twitter.
Yeah, Tennessee grapevines. Yep.
McVall.
But I'm going to go out of the SEC and I'm going to go with Oregon State.
Okay.
They played 80% of their games on the road because, you know, they don't have a conference, and, you know, just playing with house money right now. So, give me the Beavers.
Two former national championships, Coastal Carolina and Oregon State. They'll play tomorrow in the winner's bracket. Since we have a couple minutes, let's do a bonus one. Michigan Panthers and DC Defenders for the UFL championship. Biggest game of the day.
I don't know who the winner is, but I know the loser will be those who watch.
The biggest game today involving a team called the Panthers, the UFL championship.
I'm going to go DC Defenders only because I know one player, and that's Chris Rowland. He's a Nashville guy. I think he went to Ravenwood High School.
Gotcha.
So that's okay. Right down the street from here. Actually, he went to school at TSU, played college ball there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to go DC Defenders just because, you know, it's where I grew up. Lots of my friends have gone to DC Defenders.
I'll go DC because I saw Jordan Te'amu on the TV.
And they get the beer snake,
right? Do the beer snake, yeah. So... Go DC Defenders. Jake Wallman, do you have any thoughts on this? You don't have to have thoughts.
No. I've always wanted to watch a UFL game, wire to wire. I tell myself, like...
Is that a dream of yours?
Yeah, it's like a lifelong dream. Hopefully, I guess I'll have to get it in next season. But yeah, give me the Defenders, I guess.
UFL season goes by so fast when you don't know it exists.
Yeah, were you like me and you just didn't know that the season started until today?
No, I knew the season started and... You know, I'll see it like on the ESPN ticker or something that it's on at like 2:30 on a Sunday, but then I go do something else.
Yeah. The UFL, I like having spring football, but it just doesn't intrigue me enough to watch it.
I don't actively avoid it. I just
don't know it's happening.
Yeah.
It's hard to avoid something when you don't know it exists.
Yeah. I told Joe the other day, like, we were talking about Bob Stoops doing this, like, review system because you can challenge literally anything in UFL. Yeah. And we got into that big conversation, but that's the only thing that really stuck out to me from the UFL. Besides that, no clue that it was going on.
Panthers defenders for the championship tonight. That will not be on our airwaves, but what will be? The Stanley Cup Final will be on this
evening.
It'll
be in our hearts.
6:30 here on The Game. You can listen to the sounds on 94.9 The Fan, pregame with Max Herz at 5:20. And, of course, the Nashville Cats over on 93.3 playing their Clarksville game today. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin on the call. 3 hours flies by, guys. It'll be
quick.
It will be. It was fast, and it'll be fun. We'll keep doing again next week, 9 to noon here on Saturdays. For Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wellman, I'm Jake Lyman. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
See you.
And eat at Nico's.